The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
You know, this is a truism, but it is a truism that's true. I guess that's an oxymoron. But the darker the night, the brighter the light. And as we continue to go through a very dark period in America, and, okay, you know, things are getting better with the pandemic. Now, you wouldn't believe that, listening to Dr. Fauci and President Biden and so forth. But things are getting better. Things really are looking up. And it is possible that we could be beyond most of this by the end of the summer. But even if that happens, and I hope and I pray that it does, things are going to get darker and darker in America as we tilt farther and farther to the left. The reason I say this constantly, everything the left touches, it destroys. The reason I say that, I believe it. And I hope, if you are a regular listener, I hope you know that's not just an empty phrase that I throw out. I have given abundant evidence of that over and over, almost daily. I give you evidence of the fact that the left destroys everything it touches. All right? Take a look at the mainline Protestant denominations. Take a look at any church. The farther they go to the left, the more they are destroyed. And as a country, we have a presidential administration that is leaning farther left than any presidential administration in American history. So if that is true, that the left destroys everything it touches, and America under this administration continues to go farther and farther to the left, well, we know what we can expect. But that means that we who know Christ, those of us who believe that the Bible contains all of the answers to all of the problems in life, that means that as we drift farther and farther to the left, as it becomes more and more dark, and as people lose more and more hope, the answer that we have in Christ and His Word becomes even more important, and even more appealing. I have a poll to prove that. Here is the headline. 57% of people in the U.S. are searching for more meaning and purpose to life. Let that sink in. 57% of people in America are searching for more meaning and purpose to life. That's according to new research from Lifeway Research. 57% of U.S. adults during the pandemic say they ponder at least monthly the question, how can I find more meaning and purpose in my life? In 2011, the percentage was 51%. So today, 57% of U.S. adults say they ponder at least monthly the question, how can I find more meaning and purpose in my life? So think about that. The majority of the people that are around you, the majority of the people that are around me, the majority of the people that are around us are searching for more meaning and purpose. 21% of Americans think about the meaning and purpose of life daily. An additional 21% ponder the question weekly. But get this, quote, "But compared to 2011, Americans are less sure about what lies on the other side of death." Now, this is a perfect prescription for the gospel. Now, get this. The number of Americans that are certain about the afterlife is decreasing. The number, the percentage of Americans that are seeking more purpose and meaning in their life is increasing. Put those two together, and you have the perfect recipe for people who want to know the gospel. Quote, "Only 43% of adults strongly agree with the phrase, there is more to life than the physical world and society." In 2011, that was 67%. People are not sure about eternity. They don't know. They're wondering. They don't have confidence that there is even an afterlife, and yet there is a hunger, there is a desire in their life for purpose and meaning. Quote, "In the midst of such a discouraging season, fewer Americans are convinced that there is something more to this life than their daily activities." In other words, they're looking for hope. They are looking for hope. Get this. 15% wonder daily if they will go to heaven. That is double the amount in 2011. Daily. 15% of Americans every single day of their life are wondering, will I go to heaven? Will I go to heaven? I wonder if I will. They wonder that today. They wondered it yesterday. They're going to wonder it tomorrow. Where am I going to go when I die? Twice as many Americans today wonder on a daily basis about their eternal destiny than in 2011. 81% agree that there is an ultimate purpose and plan for every person's life. Okay, well, it goes on with a whole bunch of other percentages, but here's the bottom line for us. We are surrounded by people who are looking for answers. We are surrounded by people who have lost hope. We are surrounded by people who want purpose and meaning in their life. And guess who has the answers? We do. We, you and I. Followers of Jesus, people who love God's word and believe that God's word has all of the answers to life's mysteries and problems, we have the answer. I believe that in our lifetime, we have never had an opportunity where the fields were more ripe for the harvest. Now is not the time to withdraw. And by the way, now is not the time to continue to be more and more and more and more like the world. Folks, people are tired of the world. People have learned that there is no hope in this world, in this world system. If we are just like the world, then why would anybody want what we have? We are called to be unique. We are called to be separate. I've said this over and over again for many years, probably more than 20 years. We really didn't make a whole lot of progress concerning civil rights in America until the white community began to admit we got a problem. We have white supremacists in our midst. The KKK is evil. It is wicked. It is unbiblical. It is unscriptural. there was not a whole lot of progress in the civil rights movement until the white community in America was willing to look at themselves and say, we got some problems and we need to expose them and condemn them and get rid of them. And today, now folks, listen, does white supremacy exist? I'm sure it does. But I can honestly say this. I do not know a single white supremacist. And I was just trying to think, have I ever really truly met a white supremacist? I don't know. If I have, I don't remember. So do they exist? I'm sure they do. Do I know of any? No. Thankfully, we have made a great deal of progress, all right? We have. We still need more progress? Yeah. Have we, is the race finished? No, of course not. But here's something else that I've said for years as well. The same thing must happen in the black community. The black community must also identify the racists, those that are filled with prejudice and anger and hate, they must do the same. Like Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes. Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes is an associate professor of practical theology at Mercer University. Yes, she got one of her many, many degrees. She's got all kinds of degrees. She got one of them from the Duke Divinity School. Well, in a group of selected prayers edited by someone else, Dr. Shaniqua Walker Barnes has a prayer in a book of prayers that's available in bookstores all across America, including Target and others. Her prayer begins with these words, and I'm quoting, "Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can even stop being a racist." That's how her prayer begins. In case you missed that, can I repeat it? Her prayer begins, "Dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. I want to stop caring about their misguided racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, that they can even stop being racist." And it goes on. "Lord, if it be your will, harden my heart. Stop me from caring and believing to see the best in people. Stop me from being hopeful that white people can do and be better. Let me imagine them instead as white hooded robes standing in front of burning crosses. Let me see them as hopelessly unrepentant, reprobate bigots who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit and need to be handed over with the evil one. Let me be like Jonah, unwilling for my enemies to change, or like Lot, able to walk away from them and their sinfulness without trying to call them to repentance. Let me stop seeing them as members of the same body." That's just a part of her prayer. Yeah, this is in a book that you can buy at Target. "My prayer is that you would help me hate the other white people, you know, the nice ones, the Fox News-loving, Trump-supporting voters who don't see color but who make thinly-veiled racist comments about those people, the people who are happy to have me over for dinner but alert the neighborhood watch anytime an unrecognized person of color passes their house, the people who welcome black people in their churches and small groups but brand us heretics if we suggest that Christianity is concerned with the poor and the oppressed. The people who politely tell us that we can leave, when we call out the racial microaggressions we experience in their ministries. She says, let me see them as hopelessly unrepentant, reprobate bigots. Then she finishes by saying, free me from this burden of calling them to confession and repentance. Grant me a get-out-of-judgment-free card if I make white people the exception to your commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, if that is not racist, bigoted, prejudiced, hate-filled, hate-mongering, if we're going to stand against racism and bigotry, we've got to stand against it anywhere we find it. I am more than willing to accept that some white people are bigoted and racist. And I am more than willing to condemn those feelings. More than willing. And in fact, I have done so repeatedly. But this kind of attitude is sadly becoming more prevalent on the left. Truly, truly sad.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.